great friend of yours, and so it was a real treat for me to hear this week, find out that Paul was going to be speaking this morning, and so I'm grateful for this morning and be able to just sit down and take in what you have for us.
That's enough. I've known Greg for actually, I don't know how many years.
A lot.
A lot, yeah. Greg called one day and said, would you be willing to meet with me and mentor me on a irregular basis? And so we've been doing that for quite a long time. Greg, thank you, and thank you, team. What a joy it is when churches can bless one another and not compete. And that's what you've brought. So thank you for that. Well, this past week, Ruthann and I began discussing together about starting a bit of a diet or just, you know, a tune-up session, okay? I'm not thinking at all about the fact that I'm supposed to teach on patience and kindness until we started this program yesterday morning, which eliminates sugar, caffeine, and all meat. So I have personal identity with the video that we're about to watch. Have a look.
Coach, what do we do?
I'll tell you what we do.
I want you to go on the field, look for anything with an O.
Let's kill them!
With kindness. Jimmy, I want you to make balloon animals. Tyler, make little tea cozy, something fun.
Are you okay?
We will win this for Mother Russia!
Coach, eat a Snickers.
Why is that, Chief?
You get a little loopy when you're hungry. Better.
Better.
Now let's go more!
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Hey, Tony, pick it up. Aren't this whole row finished?
You know, I'm just not feeling the wood cutting thing today. I don't know.
Hey, Dan.
What is the rush here? Is there like a worldwide shortage of gazebos?
Tony, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you get a little bit whiny when you're hungry. Better?
Better.
Hey, my back hurts. Now my friend hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Marcia, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marcia, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better?
Better.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is.
Oh, man. So this morning, we're going to focus on patience. The curriculum that we're studying in our small groups does a great job on kindness. And so we're going to talk about patience. But in order to prepare you for this morning and so that you are fully equipped, we want to give you a treat. Please take one. Don't take the whole box. And out of kindness, pass it to the one next to you. You have a choice. You got to be joking. Is that what I heard? Well, yeah, good point. Good comment. So, I got to tell you, Wally trumped me on this one. My kindness factor was this size. Wally said, no, let's go with the full regular size. So, he trumped me already. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I have to learn some more about this. Love is patient, love is kind. So, here's the question. If your sugar level is low and you're irritable, this may help, but it's not going to address the challenge that we all have with patience and kindness, is it? Either that or somebody at the toll gates on every road should be handing out Snicker bars every morning during rush hour. Wow, I have witnessed, as I'm sure you have, actually some scary moments of road rage. I had a guy, actually, I didn't know I was merging into his lane, but you know when you come out, you're leaving the airport and you're coming onto the 99, and then there's an exit immediately there. I was looking in my rearview mirror. I moved over, and this guy was coming up behind me fast. And he decided I was in his space. And he followed me for about, I don't know how far down 99, and shook his fist at me. He says, "Pull over. We're going to fight." And I said, "Peace, man." And then another guy came up beside me, and he got angry at that guy. And that guy said, "Let's pull over." And I'm watching all this. I'm slowing down thinking, what is going on here? And the two guys slowed down, pulled off the side of the highway. And thank you very much. No. And as the second guy behind was opening his door to get out, this young guy who was the road rage man took off. And I thought, thank you, Lord, a life was saved. The issue of patience is an issue of how big our world or how small our world is becoming. You think about the conversations, even this week, where patience has been right to the edge, or when an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God in kindness has been missed. Why? Because our map isn't big enough. Ruth Ann and I, one of the differences between us, I love GPS. I plug it in to go around the corner. I just love GPS. It just takes the stress out of trying to figure out downtown Vancouver. Ruth Ann is not happy because the screen is not big enough. Where's the whole route? I don't know. It's in there. Just trust the GPS. No way. Let's get one of those paper map books where you can see the whole world and know where you're going at any given time. There's an illustration in that. As the work of God continues in us, the intent is that our map, every moment of every hour and every day, keeps getting bigger, not smaller. And when we are left with a small map, we actually become like those caricatured people, right? Sometimes people experience us in some actually frightening ways. Listen to the New Living Translation or follow along on the screen. Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. Don't just pretend to love others. It's there. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, quoting God, "I will take revenge. I will pay them back," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Easy passage. Whew. Which phrase grabbed you? Which of the many? There are two. We're going to focus now on patience. If the Bible is true in that 1 Corinthians 13, you know, was not written for weddings. It was written for us to learn how to grow and how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the truth of God's Word and in the presence of Jesus. If that's true, that love is patient and love is kind. What do we need to learn? For me, as I look at my life and my life story, there are two kinds of patience. The patience that's required under difficult circumstances, and the patience that is required with difficult people. Circumstances under them, people with them. Both require a work of God in us. So we're going to take this passage this morning and look at three things. What is the principle of God supplying patience? What is the practice of patience? Literally, what does it look like? And thirdly, where does the power for patience come from? Number one, the principle of patience. Well, there are a variety of people who are quote-unquote difficult. Let's take a minute and think about that. At the one end of the spectrum, the easy end, there are people who just simply you don't click with. They don't like you. You don't like them. You're not drawn to each other. You don't work well together. There's people usually on every employment team, unless the team is two or three. Well, sometimes when it's two or three, that are difficult for you, but not outside of the realm of possibility. In the middle of the spectrum, those are the ones who have hurt you, the ones who have wronged you, who have done an injustice to you, who have lied to you or about you, behind your back or to your face. Keep going on the end of the other end of the spectrum. Those at the other end are those that the word persecute means. Those are ones who actually don't just lie or hurt, they actually want to see you harmed. And it's shocking to realize that, and it's devastating to experience that. Those are all included in this passage. Don't just pretend to love others. Love them. And love is patient, and love is kind. What is our response? The default of our DNA outside of a DNA that is rearranged by the power of God. You do know, don't you, that when the person of the Holy Spirit comes in to you, when you come to faith in Christ, it's not just a spiritual experience. There is a rearranging of your DNA. DNA, we cannot see without the use of very high-tech equipment. That DNA is touched by the power of God. And that topic could take a whole year to explore what we learn about how our eyes change, how our ears hear what we never used to hear before, how our mind thinks about things that we never even believed was possible. Your DNA is changed by the love of God that's in Christ, by the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word. What is the default DNA? Is it not always to retaliate? It is always to push back, defend, and there's a spectrum of that too. Sigmund Freud has a great saying, well, great in a dark way. One must forgive one's enemies, particularly after they've been hanged. Think about that. He is describing the default DNA of humanity. Forgive your enemies once they've been hanged. Wow. That is not the principle of patience. The principle of patience, as we see in Romans chapter 12, is in no other culture or no other society around the world. None. It is found only in the people of Jesus. It's found in verse 17 and verse 21. Verse 17 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." And verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That is the principle, the truth behind why the Bible is able to say, be patient. Be patient in your love. The word overcome, I mean, that's an easy word to understand in some ways. It's a military word. It means to overpower. It means to defeat. And that's why Paul, in writing here, says, look, there is a war going on. It's a war for your life. It's a war for the power of Jesus in you and through you. And it begins most often in your home, extends to your workplace, and then into the rest of society and the people that you connect with. What if there is a war? If I need to overcome something, it means also then that thing has the power to overcome me. And it does. This kind of wounding, this kind of real challenge to be in relationship with people can ruin me. How? It defeats me because if I stay hurt, and hurt becomes bitterness, and bitterness becomes resentment, then I get distorted. Then it begins to affect, in a negative way, the DNA that's inside of me, that the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus is trying to transform. What do I mean? You begin to see with your eyes. For example, if a man has treated you poorly and you hang on to that resentment year after year after year, guess what? All men are mistreaters. Right? That's what happens to our vision. If you get taken advantage of by someone who is in a place of authority, particularly spiritual authority, then all bosses, all leaders, all pastors are dot, dot, dot. You see what happens? It begins to destroy us and distort us so that our vision becomes tunnel vision. Our vision becomes a vision that is shaped and fueled by our pain and by our resentment and by our anger. That pushes us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It pushes us away. It creates a barrier between what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in us. The Bible talks a lot about two kinds of people, and don't think of them as those people over there. They are us. Self-righteous means people who begin to think they are better than others. And self-centered people is people who think they're more important than others. Self-righteous, I'm better. Self-centered, I'm more important. And that is the heart of the war. That's the goal of defeat, is to get us, even in our faith in Christ, to come to that place of feeling, look, I am better or I am more important. The gospel says, no, the power of Jesus is in the world to destroy that very thing. That is the evil that is deep within us. How dare you speak to me? How dare you cut me off? You want to fight? I'll fight. I'll turn into a raging beast. And let me tell you, the Snickers bar that's in your hand or on the seat beside you is not going to affect this. Not what we're talking about. The biblical word for patience, we're still talking about the principle. The biblical, oh, sorry, got on the wrong page there. I have a friend. His name is Modem. He lives in the northeast corner of India. It's a very hostile part of India. Nepal is close by. Myanmar. Bhutan. And Modem is his name. And he has given his life. Ruthann was with me a couple of years ago when, at a staff training event that I was leading, Modem fell on his face and just began to weep. And we thought, what is going on? And he, at that moment, was overwhelmed by the presence of God and said in tears and sobbing and really loud prayer, God, I'm willing to give my life for you. 2 weeks ago, it wasn't his life, but it was almost his son's life. I want to read you exactly how he wrote it. It's not polished English, so I'll go slowly so that we can understand. Here's what he says, and I won't read the whole thing, but parts. Thank you for your prayer support. Situation is getting better, and now it is peaceful. The parents, those boys, surrendered, and then called us for a meeting with the community, their parents, their relatives, and village council leaders. And I'm starting to read this, think, Modem, what is going on? Decision was made that as Mark was about to die, Mark is his son, and his soul was attacked, that these people now who were gathered in the village, they had to kill one pig, they had to present us a precious ornament as a sign of understanding, and then they had to give one mithun, which is the equivalent of 6 months' wage, to Mark's uncle. It is tradition. And then they also had to provide a domestic animal, which is like a buffalo, which costs 50,000 rupees. A lot of money. A lot of money. And then, and he goes on and on and on what they had to provide. Then he said, I said, I am a Christian who serves the forgiving God, and I preach about forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world. So I forgive the boys who tried to kill my son, and I am not going to take anything or charge anything from you all, money, pig, ornament, methune. Forgive means forgive. There should be no half forgive. I want to live above my culture and my tradition. I told them that I had just finished teaching about leadership and brokenness, and they and heard about leadership and forgiveness in the training that I had received. They wondered and surprised at me. Their faces were completely down. They thanked me so much and asked forgiveness from me, and some of them said, "We see Jesus in your face, and we consider you in that way." I asked my son Mark to shake their hands, and he did it. And myself and my wife also shake their hands. It was not very easy, but the Holy Spirit helped Mark, me, and my wife. Do you know what he goes on to describe? Three young men attacked Mark in the jungle, in the bush, and beat him to the point of unconsciousness, and they did not know if he would survive. When he gained consciousness, they did not know if he would have brain damage. And they called us all for prayer, and so the body of Christ around the world prayed, and this young man was healed miraculously. No, not even a concussion was evident when they did a CAT scan. I want to read you one more thing. I thank God for Global Disciples Family. If there was no strong prayer support and leading of Holy Spirit, the matter could have turned out very differently, because my wife's brothers and my relatives were serious over the incident. And what he went on to describe was, there is a revenge culture that's very powerful. And the whole family and half of the village were ready to put these three young men to death for what they had done. Wow. That just came the beginning of this week. Let your love be sincere. Love is patient and love is kind. What is the practice? You know, from this passage in Romans 12, there are five real clear and plain ideas. Number one is bless. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for them. You know, I learned in my late teens, you cannot pray for somebody and hate them. It's really annoying. Because it would be so easy to pray a meaningless prayer. But if you get down on your knees and you say, "Lord, I really am going to learn to pray for this person," it's impossible to stay angry and to stay hateful. You can't do it. And so you make a choice. Will you be on your knees and bless? Or will you cross your arms and nurture the pain? And then the second thing Paul says, do not take revenge. Do not take revenge. It means that you make a choice before you feel the consequence, before you feel the result of forgiving. You make a choice when it's painful, when it's costly, when you're not even sure how it's going to affect, but you do it out of obedience to Jesus Christ. You say, "I forgive." Thirdly, verse 18, do not avoid them. You know, withdrawal is a form of punishment. Silence is a form of punishment. Paul says, don't avoid them. And then he goes on, the fourth thing, will their good. Provide for their needs. If they're hungry, if they're thirsty, do whatever you can to seek their good. That is the result, or that ability comes by a DNA that is being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit in you and me. And then he says, oppose them with kindness. And I use those words carefully because he gets into this little piece at the end that's kind of, you know, yeah, okay, I could pour burning coals on their heads. I think, yeah, that sounds much, actually kind of attractive. But here's the thing. The image is from ancient warfare. And when the enemy was coming to the wall of the town, you would have hot oil to pour on the attacking soldiers. Now, this is where it's not quite literal. Do not take boiling oil to your enemy's home and set it on fire. No. Here's the point. If you are the one who's attacking and your hair is on fire from burning oil, it's really tough to swing your sword. Think about it. Paul reverses the whole thing. If you're pouring kindness on a person, like pouring oil, they're not going to be able to swing their sword. Think about the imagery. You can't. If God prompts you in that moment, love is patient, love is kind. Stop the attack with kindness. Solomon says in Proverbs 25, a soft answer turns away wrath. It's a hard answer that stirs up anger. Okay. The principle, overcome evil with good. The practice, very clear, very simple. What's the power? Here's how Paul starts to talk about the power. First of all, he says, leave room for God. What is he saying? He's saying, look, hear the Lord say to you, will you get out of my chair? It is my responsibility to deal with what needs to be dealt with. I am the God of justice, but more than that, I have a bigger picture than any human being on earth. I'm looking forward to actually going to see the movie Martian. I'm fascinated, not by the thought of living on Mars, but space intrigues me. I watched a 3D movie of a compilation of scenes and clips that the Hubble Space Telescope has taken. And they have now pictures right to the edge of the universe where there is no light. And right at the edge, there is creative activity going on. And I'm watching this thinking, God, what are you doing this for? Why is this happening? Who is this for? And then from that point of where the Hubble has been able to see, then they slowly come back, moving toward Earth. And you see Earth as a dot. And the white dot becomes a little bit blue, and it gets closer and closer and closer, and you realize, God, your view is bigger than mine? I think so. I think your map is way beyond mine. That's what Paul is saying here. You want to know the power for practicing patience and forgiveness? It is how we view the God of all creation. Do you remember, for those of you who may be familiar with Romans 12? Romans 12 starts this way. I beg you, I beseech you, what? In view of the mercy of God. He could have said, I'm writing to challenge you because of God's mercy. No, he didn't. He said, no. I'm now writing you my heart and asking you to view the mercy of God. That's where the power for patience and kindness comes from. It comes from our ability to get a really big picture, day after day, week after week, month after month, to really give place for God, to build that. And it's built, in my experience, a part at a time. It doesn't come just all at once. Because in order for us to know that we need a bigger map, we have to be confronted with our own humanness, our own sinfulness, our own brokenness, our own tendency to repeat the very same kind of things over and over and over until we cry out. God, what? What do we cry out? God, have mercy upon me. Mercy. The Apostle Paul, I believe, experienced this. He was responsible for the murder of early Christians in the first church. Do you not think that when he met and saw Jesus and he was blinded and it changed his DNA, do you not think there was a day of his life when he did not, on his knees before God, say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me? The mercy of God began to change Paul. It changed the way he understood life. It changed what he thought about himself. And it began to transform how he saw people, even other ethnic peoples. And he was relentless to go and share with them the peace and kindness of God in Christ. What will change our hearts? A view of God's mercy to us and to all people. And so when people who have been very cruel, very heartless, very punishing, very mocking, very betraying, even those people, with the map of God laid upon us, we will see as equal in need of the mercy of God. I need his mercy, and so do you. And that changes the quickness of our tongue. It changes what we see in our map. We learn to open the big map, not the small one. We learn to breathe before we speak. We learn in that breath to turn that breath into a prayer. Lord, teach me patience. Help me to be kind. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful this morning that, like the Bible says, your mercies are new every day. Great is your faithfulness. We are humbled by this series on love. Humbled even by two words, patient and kind. We will spend the rest of our life practicing that, learning that, letting it go deeper and deeper into us. This morning, I pray for myself and I pray for all of us here. Help us to see and have a view, and an incredible view of your mercy. Lord, may we bless and not curse. May we breathe a prayer before we retaliate with similar anger or irritability or even annoyance. May you change the way we see our world, the way we think about ourselves, our resources, our families, and our friends. Keep, Lord, transforming the very DNA pieces within us, that we might be, in fact, the presence of Jesus in a world that desperately needs mercy and not more violence. Would you have mercy this morning on the people of that community college just south of Portland, really not that far from here, shattered this morning over the loss of their young adult sons and daughters, nephews and nieces. Have mercy, O God, have mercy. We think of the parents and the family of the shooter and cannot imagine their shame and wanting to hide. Fearful of what? Fearful of retribution and revenge. Let your mercy be upon them. Father, to all of these people, find your people who are ready to be kind and loving, gracious and merciful, in the name of Jesus. That's just been our week, Lord, in this small part of the country. I think of Modem and his son Mark and their family as they recover from the trauma of being so wrongfully attacked. Thank you for preserving Mark's life, and thank you, Lord, for the work you are doing in Modem's heart, that he could stand up against his entire village, who were ready to retaliate with the same violence. Thank you, Lord. And so we pray this morning that the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest upon us in a fresh, anew, and a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.